الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, Alhamdulillah wabarakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and the rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners, our new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be on a position regarding the current war in the Mideast. What's going on right now during this particular episode, or the time of this episode and the date of the episode, there's currently a conflict going on in the Middle East, a war going on in the Middle East. Naming of the individuals involved is not important, because we're talking about the Islamic stance regarding anything that's going on in the world. So that's the focus of what I'm going to talk about today for today's class. Just the Islamic position and what we say or what we do in regarding to what's going on in the Middle East right now currently. As in this episode, there is a war or conflict taking place in the Middle East where thousands of people on both sides are being killed and injured. On both sides, the feeling of safety is in jeopardy. So what is the Islamic perspective pertaining to the war or conflicts? Now, Allah says, and I read it in English, and it says here in chapter 5, verse 32. Again, chapter 5, verse 32. So you can quickly turn to that, each and every one of you. The only text that we have for this class, as a must for this class, is a copy of the Quran. You read it during the class, follow along with me with the various chapters that I go to, the verses I go to and discuss. Also, I want you all to keep in mind that when you're not in class, you can go ahead and read the Quran. Just don't read it in the bathroom, anything like that. So you have respect for it. Don't just throw it around, anything like that. Have respect for it, like I would assume you would have respect for any other religious text. And that's the same respect that I expect you to do when you're reading from the Quran, which is the last Quran is Quran, which is the last revelation sent to mankind. It's what is called Kalam Allah, the words of Allah. And what is written in the Quran, it said in the Quran, it comes from Allah to Angel Jibril, and Angel Jibril brought it to Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and then he brought it to mankind. Not just to the Arabs, not just to this person, that person, white person, black person, green person, whatever. He brought it to all of humanity, for them to return back to the way of to the way of Sirat al-Mustaqim, back to the straight path. Now, in chapter 5, you should be here by now, chapter 5, verse 32, and you can also go online to Quran.com, and they have the Quran there, the whole Quran there. and you click on chapter 5, which is Maida. Basically, Maida is like that's table where we eat off of the table, or put our food on the table, eat from that. So that's Maida. And that's chapter 5, verse 32. And so it basically said, I'm just going to read a portion of it. And it says, basically it's saying here that anyone who kills a person is as if they kill all of humanity. And if they save the life of one person, it's as if they save the life of all of humanity. So if a person take the life of one person, it's like they committed mass murders. They killed all the people, all of humanity, when they just killed that one individual. So therefore, of course, the Muslims they're forbidden to take people's lives unless it's for a purpose. They make war against us, something like that. And of course, lives are lost. During wartime, then of course, at that point, yes, lives are taken, or if a person making corruption in the land, and then they have laws that say, okay, this is what happens to the person who makes corruption in the land, so they will stop making corruption in the land. And the only way they're going to stop making corruption in the land is that you do something about it, and that do good people do something about the bad people who are doing corruption and doing mischievous things in the land. So again, in chapter 5, verse 32, it says, if you kill a person or take a life, is that they're taking the life of all of humanity. And if you save a life, it's like you save the life of all of humanity. That's how precious life is to Muslims, is that we are not to take people's lives. Of course, they're fighting against us. That's one thing. But you're taking people's lives just as indiscriminately, just go around and shooting people, killing people. No, we're not supposed to do that. There's a heavy burden on us, heavy responsibility on us to be right and to be kind and to be just. The Muslims are supposed to do that. Also, in terms, we're talking about relationship, Islam in relationship to wars. So I will also want to mention this to you all, and that is, and it says the Quran in chapter 2, verse 2, 5, 6. Again, chapter 2, verse 2, 5, 6. And it's a very short portion that I'm going to read. It says, La ikraha fi din. So it say here, there's no compulsion in religion. In other words, some people say that we're trying to spread Islam by the sword, and that is not true. We can't make people become Muslim. But once a person becomes Muslim, then they have the responsibility to do what Islam tells them to do and stay away from what Islam forbids them to do. Because, of course, that we were the ones that were going around making people become a religious people or become Muslim people, then, of course, we look at history, that's not something that we do. When there were a lot of Muslims in India, for example, you could look at the history. And we didn't go there and make people become Muslim, because 80% of India right now is Hindu people. Most of the people there are Hindu, with a small amount of people that are Muslim. Or when you're talking about in Andalus and Muslim Spain, and Muslim were the leaders and the conquerors and the ones that really operated and controlled Spain for almost 800 years. And so they allowed Jewish people to come there as a refuge from those who were trying to persecute them. They allowed them to come there to Spain and to be protected in Spain. And so the Muslim went there to say, okay, you're going to become Muslim because if you wanted to protect you. No, it wasn't it at all. You come, We'll take care of you. We'll protect you. And you can practice your faith here. It's not a problem. And I don't want to go on and on and on about the relationship between Muslims and Christians or Muslims and Jews. That's what this thing's all about. A Muslim and Hindus or whomever. That's not what this talk is all about or this class is all about. It's about clearing up the air and let history speak for itself. Don't go by what people say that we do as Muslims and that we are as Muslims. Let a Muslim tell you about Muslims. It's like a person who is a particular faith, a particular nationality. Let them tell you about them, about their nationality or about their faith. Not someone else tell you about their nationality or about their faith. Because a lot of times they may leave out something, or they may not fully understand a person's nationality or a person or a person's faith. And so I'm telling you, and you always look at the history. I'm not telling you something, trying to convince you of anything. I'm just telling you what Islam says we can do and what we cannot do. And also the fact that what we're also supposed to do as Muslims, because we guided by Quran and guided by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. And so you can also go to another verse in the Quran, which is chapter 49, verse 13. Again, chapter 49, verse 13 or 1-3. So I give you time to get to it, because you got to flip through all the pages in order to get to that particular chapter, so you can follow along with me. And also keep in mind that the translation may be a little bit different. If you read in Spanish, it may not fully capture the Arabic. Or French or Urdu, something like that. It may not fully capture what it's saying in Arabic, but I'm going to read the Arabic and then give a rough English translation of what it says. What it's all about. What this life is all about for the Muslims. Our relationship with mankind. And so it says again in chapter 49. This is Surah Al-Hujurat, the compartment. It has various translations of this. And so and that's the chapter name, Hujurat. And it's chapter 49, verse 13. And it says in this particular chapter, Ya ayyuhannasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakirin untha. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ Khabir. I read it slowly so you kind of follow along with me. For those of you who are learning Arabic and those who know Arabic, you know that you read a little bit faster than that. But I also want to also teach the people who are learning Arabic, trying as slow as possible without getting into what you call the qawaid. The qawaid is the grammar. And so I'm not getting into the grammar. I'm just getting to basically what the particular ayat is saying or what the verse is saying. And what it's saying in English as a translation, and it is saying this: O mankind, ya ayyuhannas, we created you from a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is that believer who has taqwa, meaning piety. Verily, Allah is all-knowing and all-aware. And so the most, what I want to focus on a lot, the whole thing is important. The whole ayat is important. The whole verse is important. But it says here, O mankind, addressing all of mankind. And not just addressing those who believe or those who disbelieve, that kind of thing. It's talking to all of mankind, those who believe and those who don't believe. So it's getting a certain instruction of why Allah created mankind. When it says, inna khalaqnakum. And so it's saying here, O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Not despise one another, not to hate one another. And the one male and the one female we talk about is Adam and Eve, or Hawa. He made Adam first, and after that he made Eve. And then, of course, they got together and they had children, and all of us are the children of Adam and Eve. We all of that. All of us are. And so he made us a nation and tribe, not that we fight against each other, not that we destroy each other, not that we hate each other. No, that we love each other, and that we learn from each other, and that we learn are the person's culture and their way. When I used to teach college, and so hang with me, I want to get a little personal now. When I used to teach college sociology, I used to give my classes assignment, my students' assignment, to learn about other cultures. Their report, their single report, written report, had to be on a culture other than their own. Not their culture. I'm African American, and so not talk about African American people. I had to talk about all other people in the world and give a report on those other people, a 5-page, 6-page report, whatever, on those people, and not on myself. And so that I can learn about those people. I can learn about their culture, what they eat, what their practice, what their customs are, what they wear, how they interact with each other. That's why I get to know them, is that I had to learn more about them. And the same thing for, I used to have group projects where 5 or 6 people be in a group and they had to do a group presentation on a particular culture that they all agree upon, or the majority of them agree upon. Say 3 or 4 of them agree, okay, we're going to talk about in our presentation X culture. So that's what they would have to do. They would talk about X culture, X individuals, and they would do a presentation of all aspects of those particular people or culture they're talking about. That way they get to learn about them. I had a student in my class. I said, yeah, Professor Amin. He said, yeah, I picked the Korean culture because a lot of Koreans live in the neighborhood, many of the neighborhoods here, and they have stores in the neighborhood here in America, and a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them. And so I did my paper on them. I went to them, I asked them questions in the store, and they were so happy that I was interested in their culture, and them not as the people who sell things to me, but as them as a people. And they asked all the questions I had assigned to them, 5 or 6 questions I assigned, they asked those questions. And then after that, he started learning a lot about the people. And he said, Professor, I mean, you guess what? You know what happened is that I really started to really love those people and respected those people. I didn't like the people at first, but once I learned more about them, I really respected them, and they respected me. They call me number one son. And this is what these are his words and not my words. And they invited me to come to Korea to learn more about the Korean culture. And so it kind of opens those doors when you talk about, oh, mankind, we have created you from a male and a female and made you into nations and tribes that you may, so you may get or get to know one another. And so I put, alhamdulillah, praise be to God, to Allah, I put that into practice with my students, and it actually worked. Allah said it worked. So we can get to know one another in this particular, I had other examples too, but this particular student, it worked for him. He got to know more about the Korean culture. He was African American, Korean culture, and they became very close and became very close with each other and friends with each other. So that's what this thing is all about. So we need to do more of that in the world. Learn about people from a different culture than your own. Learn about their language. Learn their language. Learn their culture. Maybe taste their food. They taste your food. If they have any questions, respectful questions about your people from your culture, then you tell them. And if you have questions about them, their people and their culture, and then they do the same thing, and then they tell you about their people and about their culture, like you tell them about your people and about your culture. And so I'm saying also to my students that please, part of your assignment and part of what I want you to do is to go to someone or someone you know. You may know someone in school or work, and then befriend them. Find out more about them and watch. In most cases, this big grin or smile is going to come to their face because they're going to think in terms of, this person really want to know about me. They're not spying on me or anything like that. They really want to know about me and my culture and my family and my structure. This also will help me bring in peace on the land between one group of people and another group of people. And someone says something negative about the group of people you've been around, you study, that kind of thing, and you say, no, that's not true. You can become the teacher. That's not true about this particular culture because I talked to them, I've been around them, I eaten their food. I know this is not they're not about that. You can't put people, a stereotype, all the people in a culture with maybe one or two people doing a negative thing from their culture. You can't do that. And so I just wanted to emphasize to you all the importance of what it says in chapter 49, verse 13, about Allah made us into nations and tribes, not that we despise each other, not that we hate each other, but we get to know each other like my student did when he introduced himself to the college assignment to the people that he went to this store. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, if anyone harms others, Allah will harm him. And if anyone shows hostility to others, Allah will show hostility to him. And so we as Muslims, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to go around hurting people. We're not supposed to show hostility towards people, hating people for absolutely no reason whatsoever. It's all about peace. It's all about love. It's all about caring for people and wanting for people what you want for yourself. Caring for people the way you care for yourself. This thing is all about. This is truly, truly, truly the Islamic way. What you are, maybe some people being fed, it's not the Islamic way. If you're praying negative things about Islam and Muslim, it's not the Islamic way. Read for yourself. It's not because you're in my class and I'm trying to teach you about Islam. I'm not force feeding you anything. I'm just telling you what Islam is and what Islam is not. And that's all that I'm doing. Some people may not like the fact that I'm doing this, but that's up to them. They don't have to attend the class at all. That'll be up to them. But they want to truly learn about Islam, then you sit down and you listen. And let me teach you as your teacher and as your instructor, as your professor, and teaching you about Islam and what it is, some basic information about what Islam is and what Islam is not. Now, during wartime, I want you all to understand that for us, some people are immune during wartime. If we're fighting people, they're attacking us, we have the right to defend ourselves. And so, but we have some people that are immune. We cannot or not allowed to do anything to non-combatants. And you're talking about a person who is an old person, a person who's a weak person. You're talking about the women, talking about the children. You talk about the monks, meaning religious people, a person who's laboring. And so in other citizens, we're forbidden to target those individuals. We are not allowed to do that. we as Muslims, we are not allowed to mutilate or torture people. We are not allowed to do that, or to destroy crops and trees and also livestock or citizens' infrastructure. We are not allowed to do that. Tearing out people's homes, we're not allowed to do that. Tearing out places of worship, we are not allowed to do that. Vegetation, we are not allowed to do that. This is what Islam, not what people do. I'm talking about Islam forbids us as Muslims, no matter where you are in the world. If you say you're Muslim, you are not allowed to do that. And someone telling you differently, then they're telling you wrong. They're not telling you the truth. And what I'm trying to do here is tell you the truth and educate you or re-educate you about what truly Islam says for you to do and what Islam tells you not to do. And I also want to remind you all that it is strict conditions for us doing warfare, and that we are limited to self defense and removing injustice against people. If a person is unjust, then we remove that and we fight against people being unjust to other people, and that's what we ought to do. So we have, of course, the limits again of what we can and cannot do when you're talking about fighting other people. And Prophet Muhammad, he said, do not kill women or children or non-combatants, and do not kill old people or religious people, meaning priests, nuns, rabbis, and the like. And we do not cut down, meaning fruit-bearing trees, and we do not poison wells of our enemy. And of course, like I said before, we do not do anything harmful things to our enemy. If we eat well, we don't feed our enemy, the people that we catch, the POWs, the prisoners of war. We don't feed them slop. We don't do that. If I'm eating something, the people who I capture, although know they want to kill me, all right? You want to kill me. But the thing is, I don't go and I don't torture you. I don't abuse you, anything like that. I eat a certain kind of meal, you won't eat that same meal. And that's what it is. That's the Islamic way, and that's the best way to treat people, and that's the way we're supposed to treat people. So you want to know about true Islam. And some people may not want you to hear this particular class. All right, that's up to them. But if Allah wants you to hear this class, you're going to hear this class. No one can stop you from hearing this class. If everyone in the world want you not to hear this class or what I'm saying, and Allah wanted you to hear it, Allah will win out and He would allow you to hear it. And if everyone in the world wanted you to hear this class and Allah did not want you to hear this class, then Allah will win and you will not hear this class. So what I'm teaching to you as my students, you go out and you teach to other people. Let them hear for yourself this particular episode about our position pertaining to any conflict anywhere in the world, not just the Middle East. Any conflict. You notice I was on this side or that side. I'm not on any political side, anything like that. I'm just on the side of what Islam says that we do and what Islam says that we do not do. I have no right or authority to go either way against what Islam says or anything like that. I cannot do that. It's all about what Islam says to do. No matter how many people tell me go against Islam, I cannot do that at all. How many people tell me to go for what is bad, I cannot do that. So I want you all to understand. I'm going to look at the clock on the wall. I'm going to have to stop. But please understand what Islam says and what Islam does not say pertaining to when you're talking about any time, now, today, or tomorrow, next year, whatever, whenever a war takes place, and any kind of way that Muslims or Islam is involved in it. These rules and regulations apply forever. As long as mankind is alive, They have to go by these rules. It's no changing of these rules. Oh, it's now, it's 2000 whatever, so we can make new rules. No, you're not allowed to do that. No man is allowed to do that. No man or individual is allowed to change the rules and the regulations and the limits of Islam. They're not allowed to do that. Maybe for political reasons, they manipulate it, but it's not Islam. It's not the way of Islam. And so I want to let my students know, please understand our position when you're talking about currently what's going on, a current war, a conflict going on in the Middle East or anywhere in the world, Middle East, West, whatever, it doesn't matter, North, South, it doesn't matter. If Muslims are involved, we have to follow by the rules and regulations that I just presented to you. And you can read all this for yourself, because I'm only telling you what Islam says, and that's it, and no more than that, without adding anything to it. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.